Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
This world has nothing for me. This life is not my own. I know you go before me and I am not alone. This mountain rises higher. Seems so unclear, but I know that you go with me, so I will never fear. I will trust in you. Whatever will come our way, through fire or pouring rain, oh, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, we're getting ready to speak to you from the book of Acts. Those of you that are following along, we're in Acts chapter 14. We're going to pick it up in 13. 14:13. Acts 14, verse number 13. I hope you had a Merry Christmas and that the Lord has blessed your life and looking forward to a good new year.
2019 is upon us and looking for a great year of the Lord working in our hearts and lives.
Can't believe how time has flown by. Oh. I remember when I 2001 Space Odyssey seemed like that's never going to happen.
I know.
And all of a sudden, we're going on 2019, looking at 2020.
It is incredible.
It really is incredible. But here, let's go back to the Bible. Verse number 13, the priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Now, we pick this up because what happened is we find Paul healed a man who was born lame, couldn't walk, had never walked, and prayed for him and told him just to get up and walk, and he got up and walked. And the people at that moment, they assigned godship to Paul and to Barnabas. They call Barnabas Zeus, and they call Paul Hermes. And so this priest of Zeus heard about this, and so he's going to come down, and he wants to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas.
Right.
Can you believe that?
You know, the Greek and Roman gods, they were a lively part of the culture.
You're
at
right,
that point.
Exactly right.
And so this is what they knew. This is what they understood. Paul comes in, preaches about a Jewish carpenter named Jesus who died on a cross, rose from the dead, came back to life. And so, and then in an amazing supernatural way, he heals a guy who everybody knows he's been sitting around crippled from birth. They're thinking there is no way that any of this could happen unless a god did that, to give a person who's never walked the ability to walk. And so immediately they attribute it to a god, little g, but we know it's big G god.
Yeah, but how ironic this is, because when you think about the Jewish nation who had seen such miracles with Jesus, people risen from the dead and so forth, and they didn't offer sacrifices to Jesus. They wanted to crucify him.
They wanted to crucify him. They were plotting to kill him.
Totally different here. These are Gentiles, and they're excited about the fact that perhaps maybe there's something supernatural that's taking place in the world today, and here it is.
Now, in the Chinese culture, were there many gods? And when they heard the message of Christ, how did they respond? Did they respond affirmatively, or was it a challenge to get the message to them?
Well, the message, because of the Chinese, they're so eclectic. They have many, 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 many gods. Mm. And your parents, actually, when they die, they become a god, and you have to have a shelf in your house or in your place of business, and you have to offer food, and you have to offer incense, and you have to burn money so that your parents, who are gods in the next world, are taken care of. So they have so many gods that they just add Jesus to them.
Okay.
So you have to be careful of syncretism within Chinese culture because it's Jesus only. You can't have Jesus and all these other people.
These other
gods. That's what they're problem challenge becomes because also the pressure that they have because their parents also become gods that have to be taken care of in the next life, and that becomes a challenge, especially when you love your parents, you know, when you dishonor them, that becomes a real challenge. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you, but we're bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to serve the living God who made heaven and earth, sea, and everything in them." So they're trying to dissuade the people from this worship of them.
Yeah. You know, it's incredible. If you look back over the Old Testament, this phrase keeps coming back up about God. He's the one who made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. So they keep pointing back to the God who is the creator of all things. And you can think about society where now evolution, I mean, for over 100 years now, evolution has been part of the school system. We've been trying to take away the fact that God is the one who created the heaven and the earth.
It's a very interesting fact. It's a very good fact because you're right. Everything is either humanism, God, man made it, or else it just evolved on its own.
Right.
But they don't want anything to do with the creator.
We don't want to have to deal with an intelligent design.
We don't want to have anything to do with the creator. I think if you have to acknowledge that there is a creation, then you have to acknowledge that we have a responsibility to that creation.
Exactly.
To that creator. Yeah. And we don't want that. We want to be either self-ruled or perhaps ruled by I don't know. It's mostly a self-rule, yeah. isn't it? It's, you know, you think about ruled by, I don't want to be ruled by any political party. I don't want to be ruled by anybody.
Right.
I just kind of do this myself.
I want to be in charge of my destiny, in charge of my life. Yeah. You know, I like Star Trek. And if you kind of look at Star Trek from a theological standpoint, and you look at Gene Roddenberry, who created it, and it's a great fictional story. It's some wonderful things. But if you look at, there's a lot of biblical references to his episode. But most of them point to humans becoming the dominant force and overpowering God, and we're the ones who are going to fix society. We are the ones who are going to make the planet a better place and our lives a better place, when in reality, God needs to play a part in all of that. But humanism would say, no, we're going to do it on our own.
Yeah, but even Star Trek, don't they have the Klingons too?
They have the Klingons.
So you got the devil in there.
You got the devil in there too. You got it all.
You got everything.
There's some great theology in Star Trek. I love it.
Well, here we are dealing, you know, we're talking about Star Trek here at this moment, but this is a culture that's been dealing with these Greek mythological figures, like you mentioned, that were in the culture, and they're bringing them now into a place where they're trying to blend in what the Paul and Barnabas are bringing with this miracle. They're trying to blend it into their understanding. And the truth is that some of these things you have to let go of. If you really want God to be who he is, you have to let go of all these things and grasp him. You have to put him first, and you can't just mix him with everybody else. He's very jealous.
That's probably the biggest challenge, I would think, is going to a foreign field or even talking to somebody here in America who's grown up a certain way, believing a certain way, and then we come and tell them, okay, it's the God who created the heaven and the earth. Jesus is the one who died for your sins, but they've grown up believing X, and we're presenting them with a different whole philosophy. And to break through that, it can only happen, I believe, through the truth of the, you know, of Scripture and the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's what we're going to find here, that happens. But it has to be a challenge mentally for people to come to that place to make that shift from believing in what they've always known to believe what Scripture says.
And I think perhaps we see that this miracle was the key note that caused them to open their ears to hear what Paul has to say, because this miracle obviously brought a response to the people.
Right.
And in verse number 16, it says, and Paul is saying, in the past, see, God let all nations go their own way. Mm-hmm. He let them do whatever they wanted. So you chose Zeus, you chose all these other guys.
Yeah.
God let you do all you wanted to. Yet he has not left himself without a testimony.
Wow.
He has shown the kindness by giving you rain from heaven, crops in their seasons. He provides you with the plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. So he's using nature, which he created, like you mentioned, he created that.
Yep.
He's using nature to show you how much he loves you. But I want you to know that all this miracle that took place, he's the guy that's responsible for all that. Everything that you have, he's responsible for.
And we don't think about it in terms like that. But how can a seed that's planted in the ground sprout and bear fruit?
How? Impossible.
You know, you look at that. You got to have the right amount of water. You got to have the right amount of sun. The soil has to be a certain way and needs to be tended. Obviously, humanity can be a part of that. But even if seeds fall to the ground, they're going to grow on their own.
They grow on their own.
Because God has created that kind of order for life to sustain itself. So
that this miracle you see coming forth, and there's no way you can explain it, God's the one that's doing this miracle.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to help them understand.
How do you explain this? How do you explain life? Yeah. So,
even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them.
Yeah. Like I said, people have been brought up a certain way.
Yeah.
And to get them to change, you know, from one way of thinking to another way of thinking, there's a challenge there. But that's so exciting, and that's why this radio program has been on for 5 decades and this church has been around for over 100 years, is because we want to share the truth of who Jesus Christ is and that he's coming back soon.
So they're going to sacrifice to him. This is what they still want to sacrifice. They're going to sacrifice what? Bulls and wreaths.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to understand. They put a wreath around the bull's neck. Do the bull? What do they do with the wreath? I mean, I just don't know. Wreaths have to do with bulls?
Yeah.
Bulls are sacrifice. Bulls, we understand because we're Christian. Wreaths, I'm not sure how we understand that unless we see that one is alive, one is from an animal, the other's from alive, but it's from a tree, from a non... what's the right word? Something. Maybe it's two parts of nature. One
could
is
be.
Living, I don't know.
But the plant life and the animal life, both things.
I don't know what it is, but it's something like that.
Sure.
But they had trouble. They still want to sacrifice someone.
Yeah.
Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. So they're following Paul and Barnabas now.
Again.
Here they come. Yeah. And won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city thinking he was dead.
Yeah.
What a bunch of friends you got there, Paul.
We go back to chapter 13 here and 14 because, Antioch, they were in Antioch. They got booted out of town there. Iconium, they ran out of Iconium, headed into Lystra and Derbe. And these Jewish guys, they hear that Paul and Barnabas are up causing trouble in Lystra and Derbe. They come traipsing after them because they don't like this message.
No.
Once again, that message of Jesus causes so many issues with people.
So you think when a preacher leaves and goes to another city, the people follow him? I've heard of that happening.
It could.
Usually it's because they like the anointing and they follow him for the anointing.
There
what happens if he does something wrong? Do they follow and scream and yell at him
some
in the service? Never know. They stoned Paul. They stoned him. And they dragged him out the city. They thought he was dead.
Yeah.
I mean, you can preach the gospel. Jesus lost his head. Paul's stoned. Sometimes we're really spoiled here in America. Yeah. We don't get the good stuff.
We don't get, whipped and stoned. And not that I want any of that, please. But, wow.
Any of our listening audience want to come over and stone us and beat us up? Well, you're going to have to wait in line.
Yeah. Ouch.
Ouch, ouch. But the disciples had gathered around him. He got up and he went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe.
Okay.
So the disciples gathered around him to keep the stones from killing him, I guess.
Oh, he's bloody, he's beaten, he's dragged out of town, left for dead. The disciples come around. Maybe they prayed for him. They
gets back up.
They, whatever. What a miracle that is.
That is.
Here's Hermes, one they call Hermes.
He gets back. Him.
He starts talking again. It's like, okay, there's got to be something about this because not many people are going to get up from a stoning, but God had a plan for Paul.
No, but, they didn't quit.
No.
They left now and they head out for Derbe.
Yeah.
So they're heading out. They're still preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
And they preached the good news in verse 21 in that city, and they won a large number of disciples.
Yeah.
That's like you mentioned before. Even when people didn't listen to them, they still won some.
Right.
I don't know who it was, but they mentioned something about God always does something through a remnant.
Yeah.
It's never everyone. And a remnant is somewhere between 10 and 15% of the people. So if you're reaching 10% of the people with a gospel message, that's a remnant. That's all God needs to
there
do his
go.
Work. And so here, they're reaching some.
Yep.
And then they return to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. So they're going back those cities.
Where they had such a great reception.
But they're encouraging. Yep. They're encouraging the people. And I think that's important that the people are encouraged. And so they're going back and they're encouraging people. And they said they're going to strengthen the disciples and encourage them to remain true to the faith. So we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. They've been through the hardship. Now, if you can be through it and preach it, then you can preach it.
Amen.
I mean, there's some people that preach about prosperity, but they probably maybe have never really experienced that prosperity, or maybe they have always been poor and just something they've never really experienced that what they're preaching. These guys say, you got to go through trials. We've been through them.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if you're going to get into God's kingdom, you got to go through them.
Yeah. It must have been amazing for them to go back. They had left. Remember, they ran out of town one time. They got out quickly.
Yep.
But then they walked right back in to where they had left.
Yeah.
All of the places that they had had trouble with Jew and Gentile, they went back in. They found the believers. They found those who would listen to the message and responded. And they gave them that encouraging word to say, hey, listen, I got stoned over here.
Yeah.
I got beat up and bruised and battered. And understand, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and blessed are you when you're persecuted for my name's sake, because great is your reward in heaven.
I'm just wondering if the Jews kept following them or whether they gave up.
Yeah.
They might have gave up.
I'm telling you, Paul's a tough cracker. He is a tough cookie, and he's not going to back down.
He's not. And so he says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders. He says, from these places they're going back through, they appoint elders for them in each church, when with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust.
Yeah.
After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia.
They were moving.
Man, they did travel.
They were moving.
Wow.
Yeah.
But here they are traveling, and like you mentioned before, they were leaving and appointing elders in every city to keep the work of the Lord going. Now, that speaks a lot because you can have disciples, but if you don't have some people that will actually take the role of leadership and actually help the church grow by encouraging others, then it's probably not going to be effective because, you know, I guess as John Maxwell said, everything rises and falls on leadership.
Right.
But here, that's what they did. They chose leaders.
Yeah, that's a key element there in the missions endeavor to appoint leaders and to have the church kind of take care of itself after the missionary comes in, spreads the gospel, and then has to move on to another city. He's following a wonderful pattern here.
Yeah, and the leaders, actually, they should follow the example of Paul and Barnabas as they suffered for the gospel's sake. So the leaders are going to do that. And I don't know where you're at in your life, but, you know, we like to believe that we're reaching and helping people become disciples. Mm. But even at that, in our staff and in our beliefs here in Bethany, we believe that God raises up leaders among us. And there are many people within the congregation that they take up on a role upon themselves, and they actually do the work of the ministry, and they're really good leaders.
Amen.
And that's one of the key things you've done a lot of times in your ministry is to raise up leaders within the congregation. And it's really wonderful to see them prosper.
Yeah, it's so exciting to help develop them, teach into their heart and life, and then release them to lead a ministry. It's beautiful.
It is. And especially men. We want to thank the Lord for the men that are raised up.
Amen.
Ladies, you're needed too, but we thank God for men.
Yes, we do.
So this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We hope that this is going to be a good new year for you and that the Lord will raise you up to become that kind of a leader that is pleasing to God. God bless you. Have a great day.